All right. Welcome back to Morning Invest on this Thursday. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here. Coming up on the show today, we're going to be talking about the latest on the stimulus and why minimum wage is now back into the mix. We'll go through that. $15 an hour minimum wage could be making a comeback. It was dead. Now they brought it back. So that's good news. That's good news for all of us that think that this is ridiculous, that Joe Biden couldn't stand for that. Maybe he got the message. But now maybe also backing down on the size of the stimulus checks. We'll tell you about that as well. And what happened to Joe Manchin, Senator Joe Manchin? It looks like he might have backed off of this minimum wage battle. Well, we're going to show you what is going on in West Virginia right now. The pressure that he is under from outside forces. So we'll go to West Virginia. We're also going to talk about day two of the impeachment proceedings. It was crazy yesterday to watch the members of the Senate bring forth this video and show all sorts of behind-the-scenes footage that we hadn't seen before. The violence that was unfolding, and we learned quite a bit about who was more at risk than we even initially thought. We're also going to talk about Neera Tanden. Her confirmation hearing got heated yesterday. And again, this is where the difference between progressives and liberals, you know, she claims she's a liberal, but attacking progressives. So one progressive, Bernie Sanders, got his turn to ask the tough questions of her during a confirmation hearing yesterday. We'll play you that video. And so much more on the show today. David's in our control booth. He's actually got a setup that looks good. I'm still stuck in this spider supply closet. But it's okay. Does it look terrible? I mean,
no, I think it's sound for me today. I think you need to get the mic a little bit closer. Yeah. It's very, even though it's smaller, it's very echoey.
How's this?
That's better? Way better. Yeah. But yeah, I have my mood lighting on today. I don't have all my lights on, so I'm just kind of like chilling out today. This is like where I come to work and chill and all that other stuff.
That looks nice. Looks a lot better than mine right now.
Yours is going to look great when it's
done. But hey, it's going to be great. But I got a plant behind me today. That's great. And some blue light. We got some blue soft light. So, hey.
We're making lemonade.
Slowly but surely. That's right. Grover's outside running around playing. So he's not here as part of the show today. Well, don't worry. We're going to have a full-on Grover cam. When do we have the Grover bot set up? That's going to be coming up soon too, isn't it?
Yep. That should be done by the end of next week.
Cool.
Should start to see.
Good to see everyone next in our chat. Good to see everybody in our chat today. Nice to see everyone. If you're in on YouTube, nice to see you. Subscribe if you can. Just hit the little subscribe button down in the right-hand corner. I'm looking off to a different angle today because I got the monitor in a different spot. It's totally wacky. But thanks to all of our new channel members. But by the way, if you're a channel member, you can see the studio being built out. We're going to share that with our channel members. We're going to share videos and special content just for our channel members. So you'll see the brand new Morning Invest studio being built. So if you'd like to become a channel member, it's very easy to do. Just go to morninginvest.com/join. That's how you can support independent journalism. And now it's more important than ever to support independent journalism. I mean, you see what's happening on the mainstream networks now? They're getting rid of news programming. They're literally bringing in just opinion voices on the conservative side. When you watch CNN and MSNBC, yesterday morning when my live stream went down, we had some viewer said, "Oh, I'm glad you're back because I went over and I watched CNN and I said, what are you doing? Don't do that. Remember, CNN's the network that told you just a week or so ago that it's okay that you do not get $2,000 stimulus checks, that it's okay that you get $1,400 stimulus checks. They were making the case and argument that you shouldn't be asking for more than that, defending Joe Biden. And that whole back and forth about whether or not it's $2,000 or $1,400, it's important. It's more important than ever to be able to support independent media. And that's what our show is covering progressive issues.
Mainstream media always blames Russia.
Right.
Exactly. Russia does everything.
It's always Russia's fault. That's right. So we're going to get to the news here in a moment. We've got some big stimulus news. We've got updates on the impeachment. Plus, we're going to look at Neera Tanden's confirmation hearing. And it got fiery between Bernie Sanders and Senator Kennedy yesterday. So good stuff. We'll get to all of that and more. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Truebill. Do you know how much money you're wasting on subscription services right now? Do you have any idea? You're wasting.
I do.
Well, I'll tell you. You're wasting a lot of money.
Yeah, I do. I actually been using Truebill, and I actually get notifications on things, and I've been like actively using it instead of just like most things that I use. I'm like, I'll get a notification and I kind of ignore it. I've been paying attention, and it actually is really helping. Like I was able to cancel a subscription that I forgot I had, and they did it. Like it says, do you want us to cancel this subscription for you? I'm like, you can do that? Yes. And it did. It sent me a message awesome. Like 3 days later and said, we've canceled that subscription for you.
That's awesome. So Truebill truly saves you money. And 80% of people have no idea the subscriptions that they've totally forgotten about. How do you keep track of your bill payments and budgets? You have like some clunky Excel spreadsheet? Well, this is how you can do it right here in Truebill. It's the smartest way to manage your finances. They have an easy-to-use app. You can review your recurring monthly charges that you have in one place. You know, most people forget that they paid for something or they have some subscription. Now you can get it taken care of with Truebill. And guess what? Yes, with Truebill, you're actually going to get a fantastic savings right now just by using Truebill through our Morning Invest link. If you go to truebill.com/invest, it's truebill.com/invest. They will cancel subscriptions for you if you find stuff you don't want. And they will manage all of your subscription services so you know exactly what you're being billed for every month. And you get bank-level security. You can feel good about your security and your services, your finances, once again for the new year. Look, now's the great time at the beginning of the year here in February to take control of your finances. We love Truebill. We thank them for the support of the show. So go check them out at truebill.com/invest right now to take advantage.
I had a subscription that I had for over a year for $4.99 that I totally forgot about. And if it wasn't for that, like I didn't even, because it was coming out of a different account. I didn't even think about it. It's like, so I was able to cancel that. And yeah, that's a lot of money I just wasted.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, you're just paying for a subscription you're not even using. We discovered like two different subscriptions that my little girls were using for something, but they weren't even using it. It was like for some Peppa Pig thing that they're not even using. And I was paying like $9.99 a month for it.
So I love how you blame your daughters all the time for that. I saw the Peppa Pig app on your phone, man.
I use it all the time to figure out my shapes and colors. Got to. Oh, all right. Let's talk impeachment first. So here's the challenge, okay? Here's the challenge for Republicans. This is the challenge that unfolded yesterday for them. Make the argument, okay, see if you can do this, that Donald Trump had nothing at all to do with the riot at the Capitol during the first few days of the impeachment trial. How are you going to do that? Well, it's damn tough. The Democratic impeachment managers did something Wednesday that desperately needed to be done. They laid out a thorough, comprehensive, and digestible timeline about what Trump said, what he did over the past months, and the days leading up to the attack on January 6th. At the Capitol. Man, they went over everything. Have you caught some of this yesterday? Sorry, I'm going to get this up here. So this is the layout of this. And she introduced this all. She introduced different videos, different timelines. They covered all aspects of Trump's shocking behavior, his crazy tweets, his TV interviews, speeches, claiming that the election was being stolen. Then his months-long campaign to undermine the faith in the American election results. So his efforts, both public and private, all of that was turned over in front of the American people yesterday. Stuff we didn't even know about. Stuff he did once it was clear internally among his lawyers that he lost the election. This is Stacey Plaskett, who you're looking at on your screen. She went through and laid out specifically the timelines and different appearances and things that President Trump had said. Think about his attempts even just to pressure former Vice President Mike Pence to overturn the election. They laid out his repeated appeals to his supporters to come to Washington on January 6th, the same day, the very same day that Congress was set to certify the election results. Then, of course, his inflammatory speech that day outside on the Ellipse, including his crazy ideas and exhorting to thousands of angry followers to go fight like hell and march on the Capitol. And then they laid out in the timeline clearly his unwillingness to do anything about it with the National Guard once it was clear that the violent insurrection had broken out and that they were, you know, going through the Capitol, destroying the place, calling for the assassination of Mike Pence. And, of course, then all of the damage that was left in the wake of it, the physical, the mental damage, including dead people. Let's not forget about five people dead and all of the wounded police officers who threw themselves in harm's way to protect members of the Senate, members of the House. It was crazy. No one who watched this presentation yesterday, if you caught any of it, that we're showing you some of it on your screen here as she's laying out this timeline in the video, it was brilliantly done. I mean, the way that you would do it in a court hearing. If you watched this yesterday, no one could come away from this believing that Trump didn't have a direct role in inciting the violence on that day. Let me know in the chat, do you think that Trump had a role in inciting the violence that happened on that day? And I don't want to lead the witness, but I absolutely think he did. By inviting these people to Washington on the very day when these Electoral College results were to be cast, telling everyone to march down to the Capitol, standing out there talking about Mike Pence and how, well, not a good guy anymore, setting up gallows on the grass outside the Capitol. These are just a few of the episodes. I mean, look at some of this new video that we haven't seen before. Some people just waltzing in, while others are fighting with Capitol Police. You know, there's been a lot of talk about how a lot of these people just waltzed in. And you can clearly see that the Capitol Police are trying to take on the most violent people, while other people are going up and around these fences. Clearly that they were overwhelmed by the sheer size and number of people, like retreating back to the building. As you can see, they're running for their lives back. So now the question is, you know, whether he should be convicted and sanctioned is totally another issue, right? But it's clear that he, in this, when they laid this out yesterday, it was clear to see that everything that he did, including the tweets and everything that led up to that moment, he was responsible for bringing these people there. And he was also responsible for not stopping it. President of the United States, with the authority to call the National Guard. Why is Mike Pence having to then call on the National Guard? You could also argue that the House of Representatives, their lightning-fast impeachment process, of course, denied Trump the due process. You could say that. I mean, there's a lot of people that think that, right? They just crammed that through. They didn't give him a chance to lay out any defense in the House of Representatives. You can argue that Congress... You could argue this, too, that Congress can't impeach a former president. That's fine. Those are all legitimate points. You can also say that the House should have held hearings and taken their time. You can say all of that. You can also say that when he was out there saying fight like hell, that this was all protected by the Constitution, that his speech was all protected, right? You can argue that his behavior doesn't meet the standards for incitement of violence. But then what is the standard? If his behavior doesn't rise to that level, then what is the standard? So, of course, in all of this right now, the Senate is not like an impartial jury. And, of course, it's not a legal trial. It's a political trial. So a lot of things are different here. You can't simply say that Trump had nothing to do with the insurrection at the Capitol. That's not an argument that anyone can make with a straight face. What was particularly upsetting yesterday was that a number of senators weren't even there. They didn't even watch this presentation. They didn't even watch some of the testimony, the videos that were showing this violence. They just left the room. Anyway, so I was saying that yesterday ended with a weird sort of procedural kerfluffle involving Senator Mike Lee from Utah. And so they'll be back. But that's how the day ended. But I thought it was a really powerful afternoon to see all of the videos that we hadn't seen before from inside the Capitol, knowing now that Mitt Romney apparently was closer to being captured than we had understood, that Mike Pence was even closer to being caught. And with a crowd outside saying, "Hang Mike Pence," can you imagine what would have happened? I mean, they had a gallows set up outside. Jake Tapper the other night said something interesting. He said, you know, even if they did capture and kill Mike Pence, he doesn't believe that the Senate would vote to convict, that the Republicans in the Senate still wouldn't vote to convict Trump. What do you think? Let me know in the chat below. That's a powerful argument. Like, if Mike Pence had been captured, do you think that Trump would be convicted? Would Republicans stand up and actually convict the guy? You had a number of members of the Republican side saying it's all theatrics, of course. You have Senator Lindsey Graham and Ted Cruz saying this is just political theatrics. But the Democrats did a really good job yesterday of laying out how this isn't just about theatrics. This is about actual violence, actual people dead, an actual incitement of insurrection in the United States. And they did a damn good job of it. See if Republicans, if the Trump team has an answer for this. If the first round of Bruce Castor's testimony are any indication, they do not have a good answer for this. But we'll be watching. So we'll bring you the very latest on this afternoon. Meanwhile, let's talk about stimulus relief, because this is a big story. Will House Democrats include the $15 minimum wage? So we got a little push on this yesterday, and it's interesting to see where Democrats are going to come down on this issue. Yesterday, we heard from White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki. We'll play that for you in a second. But right now, the plan by President Joe Biden and Democratic leaders is to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Now, President Biden said he put that in the bill. It's going to be in there. Well, now it's back on track. Of course, just a few days ago, we told you how the president said it's going to die. It's not going to be a part of the bill. He doesn't think that it'll survive because it's not a part of the reconciliation process, not to get too bogged down in that. But he got hammered for that in that interview that he did with Nora O'Donnell, saying he doesn't think that'll be part of it. Bernie Sanders says he hopes the president was wrong on that issue. Now, the question will be whether they can actually get it through Congress and onto Biden's desk, and whether or not Joe Manchin will be standing in the way on all of this. But right now, Jen Psaki is saying that this minimum wage is back in the bill. Can't see these things. She says this is back in the bill, and they are right now debating the size and breadth of the actual stimulus checks. Let's listen.
$1,400 checks to make the $2,000 whole. He had proposed kind of a threshold. There's a discussion right now about what that threshold will look like. A conclusion hasn't been finalized. That will be worked through Congress.
So we don't have a final number on that yet, but we do know that there'll be $1,400 checks, people making $75,000 and under, married couples under $150,000. That's where it stands right now. But $15 an hour minimum wage is now back in this bill. And look, all it takes is President Biden to be strong and to push for it actually to go through. That's it. He could stand up to the Senate parliamentarian who has the opportunity to put this in there, to stay strong on this issue. Another question that the House Democratic leaders right now are wrestling with is if the minimum wage provision won't end up in the $1.9 trillion COVID package, then should they just strip it out altogether? Should they strip it out in the House, or should they just let the Senate do that instead? It's a tougher political question than you think, because now it'll be like, okay, the House of Representatives and the Senate leaders, you know, the Senate pulled it out of there. So the Senate's the bad guys. Chuck Schumer's the bad guy. Or will it be Nancy Pelosi that has to pull it out? Who's going to take the fall for pulling out the minimum wage out of the stimulus package? House and Senate leaders today are trying to use this budget reconciliation process to push forward this COVID relief package. And, you know, it's called the American Rescue Plan. And they're trying to get it through in a way that actually has a majority of the vote. But to do that, Democrats have to meet these certain parliamentary hurdles. Now, this is where we get a little wonky and a little nerdy, but it's important because the overall bill has to go and pass the muster of what's called the Byrd Rule. If any of you watch my show for any length of time, you know what the Byrd Rule is. But if you're new to our program, you're joining us for the first time. The Byrd Rule was put in place by Senator Robert Byrd, of previously of West Virginia. He died many years ago, Democrat. He wanted to make sure that anytime we brought up a budget reconciliation process, it could only include budgetary items. And there's a real question as to whether or not the minimum wage counts in that same metric. So we don't yet know. But on Tuesday night, the House Education and Labor Committee gave the green light to boosting the minimum wage to $15 an hour by 2025. So again, I know David and I have been talking about this for a while, but like, this is not even going to go into effect until 2025. We have 4 more years to wait for this. 4 more years. And economists note that even $15 an hour minimum wage is still below where it needs to be. $15 is barely keeping people out of poverty. It should be up by $23 an hour, but it's not even going to be there for another 4 years. But here's the best part. Republicans are opposed to raising the minimum wage. And right now they're citing this new study by the Congressional Budget Office that came out just the other day that said that the wage hike would cost 1.4 million jobs. And Democrats jumped all over the same study. And they said, no, raising the minimum wage could lift 900,000 Americans out of poverty. So that's what the study said, that it would cost some jobs, but it would raise people out of poverty. So overall, 17 million workers would be affected by this wage hike. And then the next big question, of course, is the House Budget Committee and how they plan to tackle all of these pieces of the reconciliation package. There's 9 different committees. So when you're wondering, like, why haven't they passed this thing yet? That's what's going on. They 9 different committees all have a copy of this bill right now, and they all have their Sharpies out, and they're all making little marks and little doodles on them, putting in the things that they want and pulling the things out that they don't want. And then next week, they're going to mark up this entire thing to have their final markups in place next week. And they're going to submit those back to Nancy Pelosi and to Chuck Schumer. But there's a problem, because the Byrd Rule may not allow the minimum wage to be included in this Senate version of the reconciliation package. It's complicated. It's crazy. I know. But the Senate parliamentarian could rule against Democrats and then knock it out.
I wish they'd just pull it out anyway and focus on getting people stimulus that they need right now instead of him hawing around with this stuff. You can worry about that stuff later if it's not till 2025. That's my opinion. I mean, I know people want it in there, but people need help right now.
Yeah, I guess the big question is whether they would have enough votes to do it any other way, because they're going to need Republican support. Right. And so if you strip out the minimum wage out of the COVID reconciliation process, then you're going to need a number of Republicans to support the increase. And they're not on board. So, you know, then, yeah, you could try to say, we'll pass it as a standalone bill, but Republicans won't support it. And so we'll stay stuck at $7.25 an hour because Republicans are greedy bastards.
I thought they could pass anything they wanted once they got control of the House and Senate.
Well, as you know, they only barely have control of the Senate. And then, of course, you have moderate Democrats that don't even want it to be as big as they say it is, as $15 an hour. You know, you have Joe Manchin saying he'd only go up to $11 an hour. So the challenge right now for Democrats in both chambers is that parliamentarian. Let's talk about this parliamentarian. It's a highly respected person. Her name is Elizabeth McDonough. She hasn't ruled on this issue yet, but hey, Elizabeth, maybe it's time to. What else are you doing? By the way, what else does the Senate parliamentarian have to do right now? Then there's a little impeachment trial for President Trump. That's taking up the Senate's time. So you might be sitting back wondering, like, what's going on here? Why aren't they moving on this thing? Well, we need to wait for her ruling on this. The thing is, though, you know, House Democrats hope to get some indication on how Elizabeth McDonough is going to rule before the budget committee's markup next week, even if it's not a formal ruling. Then they could strip the provision out of the package prior to that marking up period, and that would make the moderate Democrats happy. But of course, it would infuriate progressives like Bernie Sanders. Or they could leave it in and try to push it through and let Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer deal with this big problem that he's going to have on his hands. And that would, of course, make progressives happy, not so much for the Democrats or the moderates like Joe Manchin and Senator Sinema. It's also a problem, though, for Senator Schumer, Senator Bernie Sanders, because he's demanding the minimum wage increase be included in the Senate bill. And he says he's not going to vote for it unless it's in there. And you have Democrat Joe Manchin says $11 an hour is just fine. So what's going on with Joe Manchin?
I mean,
like
if it's going to be $15 an hour in 2025, if they could get 11 sooner, then why not?
But that still would be in 5 years.
Jeez.
So if you're Joe Manchin and you're from West Virginia, one of the poorest states in the country, and look, I love West Virginia. I worked there for a number of years. As you know, I was a news anchor in Bluefield, West Virginia. I love the people of West Virginia deeply. Some of the kindest, nicest people you'll ever meet in your life. You mean to tell me $11 an hour in 2025 is okay? Come on, man. No way. So you're okay with that, Joe Manchin? This is exactly why a group of individuals, a super PAC, has been created, running ads in West Virginia, trying to find primary challengers to Joe Manchin. Now, my sights have been set on taking Joe Manchin down, fired, get him out of there. So anyway, I was saying, what in the world happened to Joe Manchin? Well, it could be the pressure that he's experiencing from progressives, people that are tired of his crap, people that are saying, wait a second, you've dragged the people of West Virginia, you've dragged, therefore, the American people through the mud for so long because you've literally been focused on your preservation in the Senate, not giving a rat's behind about the American people, going home, and as David was talking about, getting out your popcorn popper and putting on your face mask and your cream, your eye cream, and living in your cushy villa and having the American taxpayers pay for you. Meanwhile, you have the best health care, right? Americans want the same type of health care that you, Joe Manchin, want. So former AOC staffer Corbett Trent, we talked about him a number of weeks ago, that he was launching a super PAC that was going to start targeting ads against Joe Manchin in West Virginia, and also Senator Sinema out of Arizona. And so he was on the Rising show yesterday and was talking about what exactly their plans are to go after Joe Manchin. So I want you to listen to what Trent had to say about this.
Response has been.
So what we're up to is we're trying to make sure the Democrats basically keep some of the promises they made during this last election, and that all these fake barriers that they're going to be putting up over the next year or so are called out as that, right? That there are no excuses left for Democrats not to take action. One of those excuses they're going to try to pull out is the filibuster. One of the other excuses is these sort of fringe Democrats like Kyrsten Sinema or Joe Manchin. And what we're here to do is make sure that if they're going to stand in the way of progress, if they're going to stand in the way of promises that were made by Democrats, then the people in West Virginia and the people in Arizona and their donors know about it, because we're going to run ads. We're going to make sure that this is made into an issue.
Corbin.
Yeah, so they're going to start running ads in West Virginia. Maybe that's why he's feeling the pressure. But the larger question is, we don't know whether or not he's even going to run for re-election. He's got still a number of years, and he is going to be upwards of almost 80 years old at that point. He'll be in his late 70s. Is he going to want to run for re-election? So they're running ads right now to kind of curry favor on this legislation that needs to pass now. So it's not even about just primarying him in a few years. It's about making sure that he's feeling the pressure at home from the people of West Virginia calling his office, saying they need a minimum wage that's a livable wage, not $11 an hour. Are you kidding me? People are suffering. The unemployment rate, by the way, is worse than we initially thought. So I want to call your attention to some really scary new data out this morning from the Federal Reserve. This is a big piece of news from Fed Chair Jerome Powell yesterday. The Federal Reserve says the U.S. unemployment is actually about 10%. That's nearly double what the official rate is that they've been shoving down our throats over the past few months. Isn't that amazing? The Chairman Powell comes out yesterday. Here's a tweet. Very important stat from Powell's speech yesterday. They're fixing the misclassification of workers in the Bureau of Labor Statistics data and counting people who left the labor market all during the pandemic. And this actually pushes the unemployment rate higher. Federal estimate, 10%. The official rate, 6.3%. Oh, interesting. Remarkable. He said on Wednesday, Powell did, that the U.S. unemployment rate is 10%, nearly twice what is officially a recorded rate. That, just to put that in perspective, that's equal to the Great Recession levels more than a decade ago.
Well, but how are they?
And Joe Mann.
I wonder if it's higher too, because they got to be only getting that from people that actually report, like people who have actually applied for unemployment. Correct? Like there are people that lost their job that have not applied or didn't qualify that probably aren't even in that figure.
Well, the latest jobs report showed that the economy recovered 49,000 jobs. Woo! So yeah, you're right. I mean, a meager amount after the U.S. lost 227,000 jobs in December. So we got 49,000, we gained 227. But it does not account for the people who have given up and are not a part of these numbers. That's been my biggest criticism of this number for years. The official unemployment rate dropped to 6.3%, so we were all excited about it, right? Ooh, it dropped a little bit in January. Good, good, good. But I think that this is interesting because under Trump, Trump would have flipped out. Trump would have taken to Twitter and be like, he's fired. This guy's, Powell's a liar. The economy is actually in better position than he says it is. That's garbage. I didn't see any of that from President Biden yesterday, so good on him. And last week in his interview, he said the economy is worse off than we thought it was. So there's not a lot of sugarcoating going on by the Biden administration. I think it's even lower because it doesn't also account for all of the people that have been pushed out and who don't have access to employment at all. They literally are gone from the rolls. They're not even a part of the data anymore. So that Bureau and Labor Statistics data now includes people who have lost their job, have been trying to find work but can't, and are maybe taking a break because they can't find a job at all. So they're not included in the unemployment data at all. But Powell also indicated that the labor market was in worse shape than previously thought. He said that the U.S. had a long way to go before reaching a full employment, which is a situation when everyone is looking for a job is able to get one. So that's a long way off. So labor market is slowing, according to Chairman Powell. Economic data is worse than we thought it was. The demand for stimulus is greater than it has been for the last 6 or 7 months because now we have more accurate data. Perhaps they've been looking at this data all along. This is why this whole thing about $2,000 checks versus $1,400 checks is ridiculous. When we listen to Jen Psaki during her press conference yesterday say that this is how they're threading this needle, and by the way, this is how the mainstream media is trying to pretend, like CNN and MSNBC did entire segments last week on how you guys should all just basically shut up. Biden meant $2,000 checks. He meant that he was going to finish the job. You guys are all stupid, apparently. Is that what was promised to us? No. Here's Jen Psaki in her press conference, just to remind you how they are framing this.
His proposal, as you know, had proposed $1,400 checks to make the $2,000 whole.
No. As you know. Yeah, right? You watched CNN the other day, right? CNN, it was $1,400. He didn't really want $2,000 checks. As you know.
You know, I think coming off of the last president, you know, that was pushing at the end for 2,000, you at least got to push for that or more in order to give people hope that they've just elected somebody better than that guy.
I mean, how are you getting outflanked by Republicans, President Trump, on the size of a stimulus check? Republicans who don't want to give any money to anybody. And you go for $1,400?
It just shows they don't want to give money to anybody either.
What's that?
It just shows that they don't want to give money to people either.
No. No, they've got their big money donors that are telling them, hey, don't give any money out to people. This money needs to go to line the pockets of Wall Street and these lobbying firms. That's where their attention is. The lobbying firms. Always, always, always. K Street. There's an entire street in Washington, D.C., K Street, devoted to lobbying firms. As you know.
You know, had proposed $1,400 checks to make the $2,000 whole. He had proposed kind of a threshold. There's a discussion.
Yeah, sure he did.
If you send John and the Reverend to Washington, those $2,000 checks will go out the door.
We will be able to pass $2,000 stimulus checks for the people next week.
We'll deliver the $2,000 stimulus checks.
And that begins with the $2,000 stimulus.
When you send me and Reverend Warnock to the Senate, we will pass those $2,000 stimulus checks. You send me and Reverend Warnock to the Senate, we will pass those $2,000 stimulus checks.
They will make decisions about whether we give people a $2,000 check.
We need to pass $2,000. Stimulus checks for the people.
We're getting people that.
Yeah.
And that's, and to be clear, that's when the $600 was already going.
Oh, yeah. This was like January 4th. Or right, January 3rd, right before Election Day in Georgia for the runoff race. Then President-elect Biden was there saying, you know, you elect them, you're going to get $2,000 checks. So the mainstream media, the reason that it's important, and I thank you so much for supporting independent journalism like our show here at Morning Invest and becoming a subscriber for free and turning on that little bell notification, because we're going to hold them accountable. We're going to call out President Biden. We're going to call out Kamala Harris. We're going to call out the establishment Democrats. We're going to call out the establishment Republicans. This is horse crap. We were promised $2,000 checks, and watch the mainstream media, MSNBC and CNN over the past week, run their segments where they literally said, the president never said $2,000 checks. He really was in the tank for $1,400, and he's simply finishing the job that started back in December. Oh, you mean Trump's $600? That has nothing to do with you. That has nothing to do with you, President Biden. It has nothing to do with Democrats. And you're also wimping out on minimum wage to Joe Manchin?
Well, and that's not even like
$11 an hour?
You're back in the $600. That's not even what your own Democrats wanted. They were pushing for $2,000, Bernie and them. So it's like back your Democrats, not your Republicans.
Right. And he didn't even want to go. He didn't even want to do another round of large sales checks in this package anyway. Until Chuck Schumer pulled him into an office when he was president-elect and said, no, we need additional stimulus checks. We know how it keeps people out of poverty. Why should we send people checks? We know the data now has kept people out of poverty. This is insane. Absolutely insane. This battle. So what you're going to see, you know, now that Trump is in the rearview mirror, I mean, to me, the real battle that we're going to be focusing on here is focusing on these progressive issues that really matter to the American people, that really matter. I'm talking Medicare for all. I'm talking, you know, erasing student loan debt. I'm talking about a minimum wage that is a livable wage, on and on, the issues that we need to cover here on the show. And our goal is going to be to look at those moderate Democrats, those beltway bureaucrats that are holding up this process, that are just in the tank for those people. We're going to have a lot more segments on the show calling out those people and where their money is coming from. So thank you so much for supporting our show and subscribing. We have some additional drama that I wanted to get to today, and this is a perfect clash. This is exactly what I'm talking about. It's a perfect clash between progressives and more liberal and more moderate members of the Democratic Party, and that is Neera Tanden, her confirmation hearing. So it was a lot of drama yesterday on Capitol Hill, the confirmation hearing of Neera Tanden. Now, just for some context, we really haven't covered her much on the show. There's been a lot of other people that have done a good job of slamming her enough. But just for some context, and plus God knows we've had a lot of other news to cover here, she served in the Clinton and Obama administrations. She was a top aide to Hillary Clinton during the 2016 presidential campaign, if you don't know who she is. Neera Tanden, over the past number of years, has had a number of ruthless tweets that have gone after Bernie Sanders, Ted Cruz. I mean, she just was merciless. But guess what? They all came back to haunt her yesterday. Senate Budget Chair Bernie Sanders and others were the target of her public criticism over the past few years. Really nasty stuff against Bernie Sanders. Now, he's the head of the Budget Committee. So during her confirmation hearing, Tanden, first of all, I don't even know why you would pick somebody like this. But this is a perfect example. You're looking for signs that President Biden is going to lead a more progressive party. Is he going to move in that direction? And then he nominates Neera Tanden for this spot. A firebrand, someone that progressives absolutely do not want in this position. It's like a needling to progressives. So she will lead President Biden's Office of Management and Budget, the OMB. Senators in both parties do not like her. They dredged up all of her longtime political beefs, of course, with Bernie Sanders, who was a huge nemesis to Hillary Clinton back in 2016. And she pushed to get Hillary Clinton elected and destroyed Bernie Sanders. Oh, now it comes. Now the chickens come home to roost, don't they? Now the Vermont Independent, Bernie Sanders, controls Tanden's professional fate. And he made clear to her yesterday during the nomination process that she is not going to skate through without scrutiny. And in some ways, I guess Bernie Sanders, you know, maybe it shows that he's a bigger person. That he's you know, she's not a done deal. But I'm going to hold her up under scrutiny. She got her digs in at me. I'll be the bigger person. Yeah, I'll probably eventually let her skate through. But first, we got to do some digging here. So this is a little bit about what unfolded yesterday. It was brutal.
I have to tell you, I'm very disturbed about your personal comments about people.
To be clear, this is a Republican. This is Republican Senator Kennedy defending Bernie Sanders.
And it's not just one or two. I think you deleted about 1,000 tweets. And it wasn't just about Republicans. And I don't mind disagreements in policy. I think that's great. I love the dialectic. But the comments were personal. Mm-hmm. I mean, you call Senator Sanders everything but an ignorant slut.
That is not true.
And when you said these things, did you mean them?
I wouldn't have said ignorant.
Senator, I have to say, I deeply regret my comments.
I understand that, but when you said them, did you mean them? I understand you've taken them back, but did you mean them?
I'd say the discourse over the last 4 years on all sides has been incredibly polarizing.
I'm asking about you.
That's like the same excuse that President Trump had when he went out and wasn't able to condemn the white supremacists in Charlotte. There's bad people on both sides. Over the past 4 years, there's been bad. She wasn't even talking about the last 4 years. She's talking about 2016 when Hillary Clinton was running against Bernie Sanders. What about the last 4 years? What does that have to do with anything?
Did you mean them?
I really feel badly about them, Senator.
Yeah, you feel bad. I feel badly about them now. I also deleted 1,000 of them as I was about to be held up for this position. I love that he said, you called basically Bernie Sanders everything but an ignorant slut. Which reminds me, of course, of the famous Saturday Night Live sketch with Dan Aykroyd.
Jane?
Caring woman. But yeah. You wouldn't know about that, Dan, because there's no old saying about what's behind a miserable failure.
Jane, you ignorant slut.
Well, you could not get away with saying that on today's Saturday Night Live.
I know. I mean, like, I don't know. Did you see Dan Levy, though, this weekend? He did it. He was really funny, actually, in his monologue. Or he did a funny saying Dan Levy from the Schitt's Creek show, you know?
Eugene Levy's son.
Yeah. Very, very funny. But yeah. So, I mean, now she regrets these things. Republican senators went on and said, you know, Tandon tweeted 3 years ago that Russia did a lot more to help Bernie Sanders than the DNC's random internal emails did to help Hillary. What? Russia. There you go. Bernie Sanders, for his part, he didn't get up there and he go over specific tweets. He basically said that Tandon has publicly disparaged him and other prominent political figures that he's friends with. He says, your attacks were not just made against Republicans. During his testimony, he said they were vicious attacks against progressives, people who I've worked with. He said, me personally. So this is a slap in the face to progressives. That Biden chose this person whom he knew would be a firebrand is a slap in the face.
That's diversity. This is the most diverse administration ever in history.
Right. So we're supposed to look past the fact that she has slammed progressives, said nasty things about them, but because she's a person of color and she's a woman, and she would be the first person of color and a woman in this particular job. That's what you're supposed to focus on, the color of her skin. Let's do that. Let's focus on the color of her skin and not of her words. So she says, I feel badly about that.
Well, and what happens in these cases...
She says,
What happens in these cases is generally if you're against this person, you're a sexist or a racist. Like that's where mm-hmm. they go with that if you don't like these people.
Yeah, exactly. So that's exactly what's going to be on CNN, right? That's exactly the segments you're going to see on MSNBC over the next few weeks. It's going to be, yes, she regrets these comments. She's a new person. And by the way, there's so much that she can do. There's so much more that she's focused on going forward. She's a woman, after all. She's a person of color. She'll be at the Office of Management and Budget. And CNN will probably do an entire special. Neera Tandon came from humble beginnings. Join us 8 p.m. on Saturday night for our special, A Look at Neera. Can you see it now like they did with Kamala Harris? They did that whole special. Neera Tandon. She came from humble beginnings, used to eat tuna fish out of a can every day.
And when she was young and in a stroller, somebody asked her, what do you want, Neera? Freedom. Oh, wait, we already used that one. Stop it.
Freedom. Schooner Tuna.
Hey, Schooner Tuna, that was the Incredible Shrinking Woman, right? No, Mr. Mom.
Mr. Mom, yeah. Schooner tuna. Because we know America is suffering. At Schooner Tuna, we're going to lower our prices. This is the stuff. But she says, my approach is going to be radically different. Do you believe her? Now that I have this job... But these are the things that we got to call out here on this show. You will not see this on CNN. You will not see this on MSNBC. But when, you know, she goes out there and attacks Democrats, she attacks progressives in the Democratic Party, the people that could create massive change in this country, supporting Hillary Clinton. By the way, what a crappy campaign that was. Does anyone know what Hillary Clinton stands for? But you hitched your wagon to that star.
Break the glass ceiling.
I don't understand Biden's choice on this at all. Look, I mean, Trump had plenty of firebrand individuals that Republicans weren't happy with. And there were many that they loved. But we'll see if she survives this entire process because... It's not good. I mean, it was interesting to hear Senator Kennedy go after her that way. I mean, she said things about Senator Ted Cruz. She said that basically vampires have more of a heart than he does, which in some ways I agree with.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'd let her slide on that one, probably.
Right. There's some stuff I do agree with her on, but not that one. Not the Bernie Sanders attacks. So, you know, forget just what she said about people. There's about the donations that she's also received. The Washington Post dug into Neera Tanden, found that she had $33 million in private sector donations to the think tank that she worked with in an analysis of tax filings. So the question, and what Bernie Sanders has said during his testimony, said, at a time when the wealthy and large corporations have extraordinary influence over the economic and political life of this country, I must tell you that I am concerned about the level of corporate donations that the Center for American Progress, where she worked, has received under your leadership. So before I vote on your nomination, he said, it's important for me and members of this committee to know that those donations that you have secured will not influence your decision making at the OMB. Bernie Sanders, I mean, it's kind of a dumb question, to be honest with you. You get $33 million from Wall Street and big corporations. You don't think that that's going to influence? You're going to be able to block that from your mind? Senator Kennedy said, you know, there will be a perception that if you took Wall Street money, turned them upside down and shook them, you'd fall out of their pockets. Ouch. Tanden vowed that corporate donations her organizations had received will have zero impact on my decision making if she's confirmed. Yeah.
I think it's funny how those people think that those tweets that they delete are actually deleted.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's an entire archive that's been set up. You can go read all of her tweets if you like. It's already, you know, it's out there. It's public. It's gone.
Don't even need WikiLeaks. You can do it on your own.
By the way, I think it always calls more attention to it. It's like, why did you delete these 1,000 tweets?
Well, it just seems shady. It's like, I'm getting ready to do this. I better let me scrub my computer, ditch my hard drive, shred these files. Okay, we're good.
Yeah. Yeah, let me delete these particular 1,000 tweets.
And Senator who went through Graham, those 1,000 tweets? Like, I'm sure she didn't do it. Well, let's see. I can't keep this one. Check. She must have had somebody. I want you to go through my Twitter account and you find every negative thing you can find out that I ever said and get it out of there right now.
God. Yeah, to be that person. That's a nice job to have. This one where you're talking about picking up your dry cleaning, is this one deletable or should I keep this one? Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina during the hearing says, look, I think all of us have received donations from different groups. That doesn't mean you're owned because someone gives you money. So I'm not going to hold that against you. Are you kidding me? That's exactly what it means, Senator Graham. So you mean to tell me that these big defense contractors that these are constantly putting millions of dollars into your campaigns to win re-election don't own you? Really? How do you manage to raise tens of millions of dollars more than your Senate nemesis who you're running against in South Carolina? You're not owned by them. Yes, you are. The moment you take money from somebody, you are tied to them. That's why I say never borrow money from friends. Bad move. Never, ever borrow money from friends. That's something my late father always said. Never, ever borrow money from friends. Because it always makes it will always screw up the relationship. You are owned by them. You're responsible to them now.
Yep. Just always steal it from your family instead.
Yeah. That way they don't know. Go through. My mom used to have a little change, like a little dish up in the windowsill when I was a little boy. You know, she had like dimes and nickels up there. And I'd go up and grab one or two to like go to the comic book store or go to the candy stop, you know, store when I was a little kid. Like, I need 25 cents. I know where mommy keeps like the $5 and change. So that's today's show, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. Be sure to grab our daily newsletter. Thank you for putting up with us here in the spider closet and our technical issues. Someone in the chat said, I think because you've been like telling the truth on this show, I wonder if the tech issues have something to do with like YouTube or others trying to keep you from spreading the truth. What do you think?
No. No, these are all our things. And I think since you've rebooted, it's been fine. So I think you just needed a fresh signal.
All right. So that's it. I thought it was Douglas says maybe my computer needs more RAM. What do you think on this one? I've got the super. I mean,
yeah, no, his
set
computer
the super computer up.
Yeah, he's got a super computer. So it's not his computer. It's just things running in the background. And I think what happened was we had TeamViewer still on. So, because I was monitoring your audio to make sure that I could adjust things on the fly. So, but yeah, it's running fine now.
All right, good. Good. Yeah. So, yeah, we try to get this all set up the right way. I hope so. I hope I'm setting everything up, and I feel like I need to have Dan Aykroyd yelling at me, you know?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
That was the only time in my life I really actually, until like the Chris Farley group, I don't like Saturday Night Live. But back then, like Saturday Night Live was great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, those were the eras.
Yeah. Bill Murray, Belushi.
Chevy Chase,
yep.
Yeah.
Cheeseburger.
I love Cheeseburger. I love Bill Murray. Here's a throwback on Saturday Night Live. I love the Bill Murray, the lounge singer.
Yeah.
When he would like, when he's in the cheesy like hotel lounge singer. What was his name? Star Wars. He was so awful. And he talking about Star Wars.
I don't remember his name, but that was hilarious.
Perfectly.
I like the Steve Martin and Dan Aykroyd, two wild and crazy guys.
Yeah. Steve Martin. So that's the show. We'll put a bow on it. Be sure to grab our daily newsletter, everyone. It's totally free. We have just, man, we added like 5,000 new people to our newsletter. So that is awesome. I told my son, I said, you know, when we started this newsletter, we had one person reading it. And yet we still wrote it every day for that one person. Isn't that weird? Like you think, okay, how many people are on our newsletter list? They get our newsletter. There's one person. And that's the hardest thing to do, I'm telling you. I still spent over 2 hours working on the newsletter so that one person could read it.
And that's
now
dedication.
We've got tens of thousands on.
And that's why you have tens of thousands, because you care that much.
It's true. It's funny, though, to think like I could have stopped when we hit 100, 200. But it's like, you know, now it's so great that so many of you send me emails and let me know how much you appreciate the daily newsletter. So just go to morninginvest.com to sign up. It's totally free. Here's a little what it looks like. Put in your proper email address. If you don't, we will automatically unsubscribe you, and then you'll have to do it again, because if your email address is not correct, it'll bounce back to us. So please just make sure you type it out correctly, and that's how you'll get our daily newsletter sent right to you first thing in the morning.
And if you guys have signed up and haven't gotten it and you checked your spam and it's still not in there, try going in and doing it again and just make sure you like really pay attention to what you're typing as your email.
Yeah. And one of the things we were talking about, David and I were talking about, you know, because all of these channels have been getting shut down lately for spreading the truth, you know, it's more important than ever for you guys to be on our newsletter list. So that way, if something happens to us here, we can send you an email, let you know, hey, we've built up this backup plan over here with a different video server and so forth. So we want to have a way that we can connect with you. But in the meantime, yes, it's our daily newsletter every day that you can read. So my thanks to all of you for joining us. Grover thanks you as well. He really does. We'll have the proper new Grover cam set up. I can't wait for our new studio. Thanks for putting up with us here in the spider closet. I'm your host, Peter Parker. For David, for Grover, from all of us here at Morning Invest, we'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time.